Paul had a heartbeat of thankfulness. Let me say this. The thing about leadership is you're only able to lead those that are willing to be led. And that's why leadership of any form should always follow Scripture. Because leadership in any other form or fashion or any other look is going to only be man-driven. So therefore, you have leadership that is, I'm going to say, an enticing form of leadership, meaning I'll get others to follow me, but I have to entice them along the way and I have to give them something. Okay? That happens in parenting sometimes. In order to get the right behavior, you entice them with this or this toy or this cookie or whatever, the enticement. You know, there's other forms of leadership like that's more of a demanding leadership example. You follow me because I demand it. I'm the leader and you are supposed to follow leadership. And it's the wrong form of leadership. And then we have Scripture that shows us the right form of leadership, which is example. You lead by example. You live a life pleasing to the Lord. You live a life as much as possible, as we see in Scripture, Jesus Christ being the ultimate example. And then the goal then is to be more like Christ. So you see it. So therefore, husbands, your leadership needs to be by example. Your actions speak way louder than your words do. Fathers, your leadership must be by example. Don't expect your children to follow inconsistent leadership. There must be a faithfulness to the Lord. So it starts with a family. And so it does in a church leadership understanding. And so do I fail as a leader, as a pastor? Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm a sinner and I have a flesh. But my desire is that we serve the Lord together. We grow in the Lord together. In looking at this passage, I want to show you Brad's, how do I say this? What I see in three verses that is a conviction to me. And then I'm going to give you some desires for our church. Okay? Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The first thing I see here in the life of Paul is thankfulness. And I will say, and what I have written down is my thankfulness. I am in no way trying to compare myself to Paul. So please don't think that. I think Paul, in knowing his own life and his background, which we'll get to that in a second, Paul had such a thankful heart. And by the way, thankfulness is something that must be cultivated. Well, now, okay, it's easy to say, I'm thankful for air to breathe. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for ties. Most ties. Did I say I'm thankful for ties? It's easy to say I'm thankful for, you know, for things like that. But a true thankful heart must be cultivated. One of the best ways to cultivate a thankful heart is to be reminded of things we're thankful for. Notice what Paul says here. He says, I thank Christ Jesus. So notice the object of his thankfulness, the root, if I can say it, of his thankful heart, it all comes from Christ. I don't know everyone in this room personally, very closely. I don't know everyone. But you cannot truly have a thankful heart if you don't have Christ as your Savior. which, by the way, since 1963, when Brother Bill and Miss Shirley Hall, which is sitting over here to my right, the founders of Central Baptist Church, that has been a heartbeat of the ministry of Central Baptist Church is lost souls. The foundation is Scripture, but the goal is for people to trust Christ as their Savior. That is a major component of a local church. It isn't entertainment. It isn't a place where opinions are given as truth. It isn't a place that we just come and hang out. It's a place where sinners can come, all of us, hear the truth of Christ, trust Christ as our Savior, and then grow until the day He calls us home to heaven. That's what can happen in a church. Now, there's a lot of other things that go on in a local church in the United States of America, a lot of ministries. But the root cause, the foundation of a thankful heart starts at the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Paul was understanding of this. I don't have the ability and all knowledge and all wisdom and all of the answers to help people. You know, one of the most difficult things to do in life is work with people. Is everybody in retail? Yep. People are people. Or people are funny. Don't be one of those people. Paul says, it was Christ that enabled me. Remember, what was Christ before salvation? Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. So Paul, knowing what he was and knowing what he did, recognized that it was all of Christ that has enabled me, that's given me the ability. I'll tell you this. August the 7th of 2016, yes, that was my wife's birthday. Her birthday is August the 7th. August the 7th of 2016 is whenever Central Baptist Church voted me into Pastor Central Baptist Church. Let me give you a little secret. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. I had no idea what all does pastors do. I had a small idea. Listen, I tried to figure it all on my own. I remember us moving. I remember the weekend we moved. We stayed at my grandparents' house while we were trying to find housing. And I remember many of you came and helped us unload. And it hit me. I've got to preach twice tomorrow. I've been focused on moving and housing and getting my family here, and what have I got myself? I had no idea what I was doing. Brother Bill would probably understand that first Sunday. You're probably a little nervous, weren't you, Brother Bill, whenever you started Central Baptist Church? I have no idea what we were going to be doing. It was God that enables. Go down. Who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm thankful for Central Baptist Church. I'm thankful that He saw fit to bring me and my family here. I'm thankful for wisdom from men and women that guided my thinking and my thoughts and helped me to look at hard things and ask some hard questions to myself that just helped guide and direct. And I'll say this, that's been a model for my life ever since. The Bible says that there is great comfort and peace found in godly wisdom. So I see here, verse 12, I see my thankfulness and how I should be thankful. The next thing I see, verse 13, read it. Who was before, remember this is Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. The next thing I see is my past. There is nothing that I have ever done in my life that would have justified me being a pastor. Me being in ministry when I was a youth pastor. It was nothing of myself. If I could somehow let people into my brain. It's a scary place to be, and there's a lot of room in there, okay? I understand. But if I could get you to understand, I'm just a nobody. And I don't want to be anybody. I don't want to be some kind of a personality that people look to me. I want everyone to see Christ through me. Is nothing, my past doesn't justify or warrant my usefulness to Christ. Well, you see, Pastor, I've done this and I've gave this amount of money and I've been here and I've had this many people come to church. No, it has nothing to do with what we've done in our past that would justify God's ability to use us in the future. And it's proof. Paul said, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor. Injurious. I was someone that committed people to prison for their faith. But look what he says. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Are you thankful today for God's mercy? I think if we were all honest, we would all say, God has nothing to do with me or my goodness. It has everything to do with your mercy. I'm thankful for my mercy, or for God's mercy. I'm thankful that God saw fit to use me. And then lastly, here's the best part. Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what I see is my God. I see my thankfulness that I should have. I see my past, and then I see my God. And I'm going to tell you this. This is October the 30th of 2022. And without God's blessings, without God's mercy, without God's grace, we won't be here the 31st. So let me, if I can, before I get into some of my desires, real quickly, this morning I just want to share my heart. If I could, we're not guaranteed another moment. So let's live the moments we have for the Lord. Here's my desire. It's easy for me to say, well, the desire that I have for Central Baptist Church, what do I mean when I say that? What do you think of when I say for Central Baptist Church? Here's what I want you to think of. When I say anything concerning Central Baptist Church, it's about each of us individually. It's not about our building, our walls, or the person across the room or down the aisle. It's you individually. So here's some of the desires that I have for each of us as an individual Christian. I desire for every believer to have a heart that will act on God's conviction. I desire that every one of us sitting in this room will allow the Lord's entrance into our heart in conviction, if I can say it that way. Because it's easy for us to build a wall. It's easy for us to get used to what we want and what we think. But my desire is that each of us would allow God to break us when we need to be broken, strengthen us when we need to be strengthened, guiding us when we need to be guided, and allow the Lord to convict our hearts. I believe this sincerely, that it has become easier and easier as time goes along for Christians, for believers, to have a hardened heart towards God's conviction. When's the last time God really got a hold of you? When's the last time God really spoke to your heart that something in your personal time in reading God's Word, or something in your Sunday school class, or something that someone said to you from the Bible, or in a message, when's the last time God really got a hold of your heart and it broke you and it moved you? And you made a decision based upon that leading and that conviction of Almighty God. It gets easy, and it can get easy for us to have a hard heart. You know why? Because we don't have to do anything to have a hard heart. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you see the understanding? In fact, if you go to the Wilds, the teens and the kids in here, if you've ever gone to the Wilds, as you leave the Wilds, that is the verse that's on the back of the sign. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That's a mindset of conviction. God, I'm going to keep growing and growing. How many of you loved school or love school? When you were growing up, you really liked school. Be honest. Be honest. You really liked school. And to those of you, I don't understand that. There was a point in time that I didn't really care about learning anymore. Probably about the second grade. You know, in your walk with Christ, God says that we're to keep learning and learning and growing and never stopping until God calls us home to heaven. But continue thou. That is not an end. There's no ending until you're not able to continue any longer. My desire is for every believer to have a heart that will act upon God's conviction. Second desire is I desire constant growth in every believer here at Central Baptist Church. That's my desire. It's not only is it to have a heart that will allow the Lord to convict us, but it's that we will have growth, constant growing. Well, can I tell you something? Let me just be perfectly honest and upfront and give you something that's very clear and evident. This is not a shock to anyone. We're all getting older. We're all getting older. Someone is going to have to fill in some spots in the ministry of Central Baptist Church as time goes along. I'm looking at these teens right here, the ones right here. Now there's some other places. You know what my desire is? Whether here or somewhere else, I hope every one of you will be a deacon or a trustee or a Sunday school teacher or whatever in your local church. If God doesn't call you into the ministry, you guys need to say, I need to live a life so I can fill these roles. The ladies the same way. We need people that will continue to grow, not come to Central Baptist Church, get their diploma at high school graduation, go off to college, and I'll go to church whenever it's okay. And then you get out of college or you get married and you're just, when I can. It's just real, it's hard, it's busy. I'll try to come. We need people that will grow and say, God, I'll never stop growing. I want to never stop being usable, because we need people to fill in. This is how the local church continues. Can I say it? This is how Central Baptist Church has continued for 54 years. Because the Lord allowed men and women in roles of local church, of Central Baptist Church, and over time as they moved or passed away or weren't able to teach or serve in that capacity, someone else said, hey, I'll be willing to do that. I'll be willing to fill in. And they can't do that. We can't do that if we're not growing. Because if you're not growing, you're what? You're dying. I desire every believer to have a heart that will act on God's conviction. I desire constant growth in every believer. I desire a continued investment in our community locally and around the world. You know what that means? That they see Christ in us. Both here in Greene County, as well as all over the world, through our missionary families, through mission trips, through visits and helping work trips. Listen, I want continued, my desire, let me say it this way, is continued investment all around the world, including right here. Acts 8:4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. My desire is that everyone sees Christ in us. And then lastly, I desire marriages and families to be strong and grounded in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Rooted and grounded, strong, roots down deep. Just yesterday, Rachel and I we planted a couple of trees. We just put them in the ground, and she has the green thumb, I have the sore back. I just put them in the hole. No big deal, okay? My job's to get them in the hole. So there's a guy came with his tractor and dug the hole for me. And she has to keep them alive. When we put them in the ground, we put dirt around them. She opened up the root ball of it and made some of the roots kind of stick out. We put topsoil and put dirt down and watered them. But then you know what I had to do? I had to put some string around them and brace them up. Why? Well, because they weren't able to handle the wind that we've been having in the last couple of days, and we don't want them to fall over and die. Why? Because their roots aren't grounded yet. They're just sitting in dirt, hard East Tennessee clay concrete. So we had to tie them off to get them stable to where they wouldn't go anywhere. Listen, there's Christians that has been saved for many years whose life is like a young tree that's been planted, and the least little wind, the least little issue can topple you over. Dads, your roots need to be growing deep and strong in the Word of God. Husbands, your roots need to be in God's Word. Your mind, your thoughts, your choices, it must be grounded in the Word of God. Why? If not, you're not going to be able to continue down the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Dads, your children are watching you. Moms, your children are watching you. And yes, while they might not like it, while they may think that's odd, while they may not understand why you go to church, why we're going to church all the time, know this, they'll never forget it. And it may be that that's what God uses one day to bring them back to Him. Kids, teenagers, look at the examples that God has placed all around you. They're here for a reason. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. One pastor said it this way: a strong marriage makes you a better parent, makes you a present parent, makes you a happier parent, makes home a unified place, makes a whole family the standard, and makes your kids want to stay married. The future of Central Baptist Church is found in the grace and the goodness of God and in strong, godly families. So, what do I love about pastoring Central Baptist Church? You. I love serving you. I love helping you. I love watching you grow in the Lord. I don't say all this being mushy. I don't say all this to... I'm just being honest. I love watching the Lord answer your prayer. I love watching the Lord guide your hearts and guide your actions. I love watching you after the service stand around and talk to other people. Stand out in the parking lots and let your kids play and talk to other people. I love hearing of you going out and eating together after service for lunch or after the evening service. I love watching our teens and our kids spend time together and want to be together. I love watching the teens and the juniors at camp being faced with God's Word. You know, there's a lot of things that we celebrate in the United States. You know, there's a lot of things we celebrate, isn't there? January 2nd is National Buffet Day. Well, that's something worth celebrating. January 9th is National Static Electricity Day. This is real. I didn't make this up. Is anyone here born on January 21st? Just curious. Anybody? Man, that's National Squirrel Day. Oh, I love that. April the 12th is Grilled Cheese Day. Thank you, Brother Ron. I fixed a great grilled cheese the other day. Man, it was good. May 18th is No Dirty Dishes Day. Hey, here's a good one. October the 15th is I Love Lucy Day. Remember I Love Lucy? These days are real. It's things that people celebrate. Pastor Appreciation Day is man-made. I appreciate it. I love serving you. I'm thankful for you. Now, let's roll up our sleeves, grow in the Lord, share Christ with Greene County and all over the world, and let's let everyone see Christ in us. You with me? You want to do it? Let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord, I echo the words that Paul says. I'm thankful that I thank Christ Jesus. Lord, I mean it sincerely. I mean it is with everything in my power. Lord, I am just me. I am a sinner. I was saved by your grace and your goodness because someone told me the truth. They preached your word and I lived in a family that loved you. And I trusted Christ as my Savior as a young boy. And I don't, that's as simple as it gets. Lord, I don't deserve to be in a position to help people, to preach your word. Lord, I'm so thankful for it. Lord, may we not stay focused, or may we not be focused inwardly on things inside this building. May we be focused outwardly. May we have a desire to have other people know the truth, and that's that you love them. May we live a life that's growing in you and growing closer to you and knowing who you are and wanting to be like you. May we have a desire to reach the next generation, as is our theme this year, telling to the generations to come all about you. Lord, may we have a heart that's open to your conviction in our life so that we can help be on the right track, so that you can guide every step in our path of life. So Lord, I ask you this morning to use us. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's all stand. I want to ask a question. Maybe God has brought something to your mind this morning that you need to grow in, that you need to get rid of, that you need to make a commitment to. I don't know what that is, but maybe God has done that in your heart. Would you get that settled right now? Knowing your past, we don't deserve God's goodness. Maybe you just need to get something right with the Lord and ask God to forgive you, or go to someone and make it right with them. However God has spoke to your heart this morning, would you come right now? Would you come right now? Thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for this church. And Lord, may we be used of you. In Jesus' name, amen.